All right, this week on Six Stars Only, we're explaining where the name of our podcast comes from, how Jake and I actually met, and how we started making weird stuff, like a photo shoot with a Valentine's Day pizza. Yes, that really happened. Listen on. All right, so how are you doing, Jake?
I'm good, man. How are you? I'm tired, but I'm good.
Oh, awesome. I guess I should mention what this podcast is now that we're six episodes in.
Oh, yeah. That's a good...
Do you know what Six Stars Only is? Let me tell you. Six Stars Only is the show where we are practicing out in the public as we learn to become fearless video creators. So we're making all the mistakes out in public so you can learn from them. We are learning from our role models who are creators to help us learn to make YouTube videos and just make this habit of creation that doesn't suck. Because if you are like us, we're going to talk about our stories in a minute, but we spend a lot of our lives being wannabe creators, and we don't want people to be like that. We want to be like your well-meaning guides who can guide you from this wannabe mire doldrum junk to actually getting stuff done and making stuff that makes you feel satisfied and whole as a creator. Is that too is that too pie in the sky? I don't know. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good. I think I liken it to listen to us talk about how we made all these mistakes. That way you don't have to. So you don't have to be like us and almost burn down our apartment and be like me and make bad YouTube videos for like a decade. But, no, that's true. That's a really good description of our podcast. So I think a lot of it kind of stemmed from being sick of being those like total wannabe creators. So this podcast was a big first step of like, all right, we're going to force ourselves to make stuff. So you guys have to like, so we're doing it in public, like Matt said, to where we have to be accountable for our stuff. That way we have to make stuff now.
Exactly. We got to make it.
Yeah,
and so we've been doing a lot of episodes. We've tried a few different ones. We've done some practical ones. We've done some more strategic ones. We've done one or two about kind of some stuff that we've worked on. But we had some people write in and ask us to explain more about our backstories, who we are, how you and I met, became roommates, started making wacky videos, many of which are still out there on the internet. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It depends on your mood, I guess. But we wanted to take an episode to kind of peel back the curtain and talk about some of that stuff that we've been so excited about sharing, sort of lessons and these hard strategic things. This is not going to be an episode about that as much. This is going to be more of a touchy-feely episode from the heart where we talk about, well, us, who we want to be, our backstory, how we got into making videos as kids, how we got to be best friends in college, and kind of where we want to go from here. So if you're looking for, like, you know, hard-nosed tips, you know, if you're looking to become some, you know, Quentin Tarantino-style director and looking for seven quick tips, this is not that episode. Go
skip.
Yeah,
this is the wrong episode for that, yeah.
This is going to be more like the Jerry Springer episode where we're like, well, no, I don't know. The Oprah episode. There we go.
Yeah,
we're going to like sit down on a comfy
couch. This is more
of
like the This Is Your Life. That's a really old reference, really old show.
This Is Your Life.
Where we kind of chronicle who we are and where we've came from and where we're trying to go.
So, all right.
So the first question I have for you, Matt, is why is it called Six Stars Only?
Well, I'm glad you asked. No, so here's the thing. To explain where the name Six Stars Only came from, I got to take you back a little bit. Actually, not that far. It was last year, and I was in Boston for this giant marketing conference. It's called Inbound. Well, I was actually there for two conferences back to back. I was there for this Inbound conference, went out for my work. I'm a marketer. And so we're out there with like 18,000 people, but I had actually, like a day or two before Inbound started, gotten tickets to another conference that was starting up their first year. It was put on by this company, Drift, which is a live chat company. And I super respect them. They're one of my company crushes. And so I went out there and it was incredible. I was one of the, you know, the first people to go to this conference, and the people there are all about growing and learning in every area of their life. And so it was amazing. We had a full day, and sort of as the day wound down, we went into this happy hour. And it was super close with all these people from this awesome startup. startup that I super admire. And there were people there that had started, you know, like 6- and 7-digit companies, and people, I read all their blogs and their Twitter stuff and followed their videos and listened to their podcast, and they were actually there, and I got to like have a beer with them and talk with them and pick their brain and ask them questions, and they were like answering me face to face in real life, and I was tripping. Yeah. It was so exciting. And so all that rambling to say, I eventually came face to face with the CEO and founder of this company. His name is David Cancel. And so, of course, I asked him, hey, you know, if you were in my shoes, you know, you're a young, scrappy marketer looking to make a difference, and you want to, you kind of like this development thing and this software thing, and you want to work in startups, and you're doing this marketing thing, what would you do if you were in my shoes, and you're trying to grow an audience, and you're trying to just do stuff in your career that mattered? And so he, I'm sure, was flailing my hands all around, and I was excited, or I don't know. I get really loud when I get nervous.
Italian hands.
The Italian hands, always.
My Italian. I picked it up from you.
Always. And so I was talking to him, and he said, he recommended two things. He said, you should start a podcast, or you should start a YouTube channel. So naturally, I ignored his advice, and I did both, or tried to do both. And so that's kind of where the inspiration came from. It took a few months for me to get around to actually doing it, but that's kind of where this push for me to create a podcast or create a YouTube channel came from. I shouldn't say that isn't where the – I guess that's where the push came from. The desire has been there, but mm-hmm. that was more of like a, oh, wow, the CEO, I super admire this guy. He – and – a little bit of backstory. He and his VP of marketing have this podcast. It's one of my favorite podcasts. It's called Seeking Wisdom, where they talk about personal growth and books they've read, and how to grow a company and different marketing strategies and being authentic. And so on their podcast, every episode, they're telling people to go and leave them a 6-star review, and which is kind of a, you know, tongue-in-cheek joke, because you can only leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Mm-hmm. But they still tell the people to leave a 6-star review, and that's kind of their rallying cry to go leave a review. And so I sort of co-opted that, as an homage to kind of their podcast, you know, for inspiring me to actually get off my butt and go do something. And then two, it is kind of a callback to, you know, like the Roger Ebert and what was his partner?
It was Siskel and Ebert, Siskel, and then yeah. Richard Roper too. And they both of them were, I'm an old fashioned movie critic nerd, I guess. So all the classic names, but yeah, definitely, it's a riff off of that. So,
yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's kind of a riff off of those old school movie guys and the reviews that they would leave, and sort of not taking that too seriously, but also a callback. So it's, you know, old school movie ratings, an homage to one of my favorite podcasts, and to the happy hour that got me off my butt to actually go make stuff.
That's cool. And I think also I'm going to kind of hijack this, but I like to assume, so I'm going full like high school, you know, English lit teacher. I'm probably finding meaning and stuff, but it's not really there. But I really want to get to a point to where I can make content that is worthy of 6 stars and not just 5 stars, to where, kind of like Matt, you know, I've been plagued my entire life of like, all right, I want to make stuff, but, you know, I'm not really sure I know how, or I am excited about it for a little bit, but I get busy or something. And then Matt came along, was like, all right, we have to do podcast, like we should do this, like, you know, like, what do you say? And he asked me, and I was like, of course, because we've tried and failed. I think we mentioned that in the past few podcasts of our God rest their souls, like other podcasts we've tried to make, Chillennials blogs, to where it just didn't work out. And it's, I was sick and tired of not making stuff, man. Like, I just wanted to start making stuff, and I needed a reason to get super motivated.
But I will say, in all fairness to you and to us, I mean, we do try a lot of stuff, and we have succeeded at things as well, despite all your failures. And that's kind of the thing that I want to get at, that I want to show with this podcast, is everyone, whether we like to or not, we tend to fall into this myth of the overnight success story, where you see someone's breakout video, but you don't see the years of slip-ups, of half successes, of things they try that didn't quite pan out, that led up to that big breakthrough moment, right? Behind every overnight success story, there's a decade or two or more of unrecognized work in the dark that just doesn't get seen. And we want to bring that into the light.
Definitely. Yeah. So I don't know why I'm being like the interviewer here, but I'm just going to ask you a question. What So we have this podcast. What do you want to do with it? Like, who do you want to be eventually in, like, your video creator or just in general, like, making content? Like what's the big end goal you have?
Yeah, I mean, big end goal is just to help people. And in order to help people, you have to be someone who has something to offer.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
If you don't, who do people go to for help? You know, if you're trying to raise money, you're not going to go to, you know, some guy down the street. You're going to go to, like, the Warren Buffett, the Bill Gates, the people who have a lot to offer, a lot of surplus. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with experience. Or if you want to learn from someone, go to someone who knows something. So the goal is to become someone who knows something. The only way that happens is by trying and failing. So
that's
you gotta, you know, like on the podcast Seeking Wisdom, there was talks about reps and sets, right? If you're gonna work out, you know, if you're gonna achieve some goal, there's no shortcut, right? It's a lot of practice and hard work and these things that you got to do over time, you know. So this is just taking the long cut. We want to document as we go. It's a little Gary Vee shout out who always talks about documenting, not creating. And so we want to document our process, our practice, you know, as we're going, and just put that out in the open and hope that other people benefit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a really good, and that's really kind of the same thing I want to do. I just want to make, like you said, it's, you want to be able to make things that matter and to be able to help people. But like you said, you have to get to a point to where you're able to do that. And being totally honest with myself, I'm much better at making videos, at writing, at doing, because I want to do so many things. If anything, I want to do too many things. I shouldn't say that. I want to do a lot of things at once. So my struggle has always been to just kind of focus on one.
Wait,
and now
I'm gonna stop you right
really
there, though,
want, yeah.
Because you do a lot of stuff, but before we go there, who are you, Jay Carnt?
Oh, who am I?
Because I want to know, what do you do right now? Tell me, give me more of the lowdown of
sort
of what you do now, what that looks like, and kind of how you got there.
Yeah, so that's a good question. Well, I like long walks on the beach. No, so my current job, I actually work IT, which is a different field than what I was used to. But, you know, I'm a recent grad from OU. And what I like to do, it's really lame saying this, but I like making content. It's really broad. But so I have a YouTube channel.
No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you? You're fired. Even though this is your podcast. But no, I have a YouTube channel and I upload not anywhere near as much as I want to. But it's Jake Garn. You can just go on YouTube and find some videos. I do a lot of videos. They're just like parody kind of fake history videos on food, which is a really weird marketed segment. Now that I'm saying that out loud, that makes zero sense, but people seem to like them, so I'm making that. I also have a blog.
So what's an example of one of those, just so the people know?
Well, Quick Trip, the world famous, or I guess the region famous gas station, has really good chicken taquitos, and I just make a fake kind of review on, here's, you know, my review of the taquitos, and I hit it with like a ball and chain, and it really means nothing. Like, it's fake, kind of like war documentary, Ken Burns cuts, but it's just with food. It's really silly. I love silly and kind of, I guess you'd call it non sequitur type of humor, and just really weird stuff. Tim and Eric-ish, Eric Andre type humor that's not overtly offensive and gross. That's kind of like my bag. But yeah, I love doing that. On the last podcast, or one of the whatever, how many, two ago, I wrote a book, so I'm in the process of, I paid someone to edit it, so it's in the last round of editing. I got the cover made, so wrote a book. I'm just doing a lot of stuff, and I'm still trying to, my focus now is I want to make blog posts regularly and tie that in with making videos. So I want to make videos on YouTube and tie it in with a blog post and kind of do a whole kind of almost inboundy. I don't know. Matt's the marketing genius. I'm just some guy. But yeah, I love making YouTube videos and blogs. My focus now is to tie them together and to make as good of content as possible.
And where do you want to go with that eventually? Like, if you could have your dream job right now, anywhere, doing anything, and get paid for it, money's no object, what would you be doing, Jacob Arndt?
So my big goal, I would love to do this. I would love to write for a TV show. What kind of TV show? I love comedy, or really just any kind of TV show. But it'd be to have a Netflix show or just basically any sort of show, and to be the, I guess, the head writer. I want to say the showrunner, but I think Matt and I both saw... We saw a documentary kind of on a tangent here. It looked like the most stressful, exhausting-looking job I've ever seen in my entire life. So, showrunner, maybe not. But I would really love to just write for a TV show. That would be... It seems really small. You know, if you could do anything... But I would love to just make a comedy, you know, be part of making something. Ever since I saw, here's another documentary. Was it Too Funny to Fail with Dana Carvey?
Too Funny to Fail, incredible documentary.
I totally recommend that. Even though it turned out horribly, I guess it, for all the people involved in the end, it worked out for the best. But
for the people who haven't seen Too Funny to Fail, it's basically the story of the Dana Carvey show, which if you don't know who Dana Carvey was, he was basically SNL star in what, 80s, 90s? Somewhere in there.
Yeah, like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, late 80s. Kind of,
yeah.
He was absolutely huge, left the show to go start his own just sort of off-the-wall comedy sketch show. And he, just some of the no-names, quote-unquote, he had on there who hadn't really had a big break yet were Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, the lead writer was Louis C.K., Jimmy Fallon was almost on the show. Just this long list of these amazing actors, amazing writers.
And Robert Smigel. The dude that does Triumph, yeah.
Triumph.
And it was just a star-studded cast, man. Yeah.
It was incredible. But because they were just a little bit too edgy, they were on a mainstream network, it completely crashed and burned in a spectacular way. And they kind of recount that on this documentary, which is just incredible. Everyone should go, stop this podcast, throw it out of your car window, turn around.
Pause it, yeah.
Cancel work, go watch it. It's so good.
No, yeah. I mean, obviously, my goal is for it to not be a total failure like the Dana Carvey show was. I mean, it all worked out for the parties involved in the end. But just to make something that's cutting edge and ahead of its time, and in an ideal world, would be really popular and not be canceled. So that's kind of my big picture dream. How about you? Have you already answered that?
I guess I didn't. I got all sentimental, and then I totally dodged the question. But my real answer, I guess, to that, you know, besides just being, you know, doing something that matters and helping people, is I'd like to start my own software company. I've been enamored with SaaS for a while, which, if you don't know, SaaS just stands for Software as a Service. So it's sort of these subscription services you buy into, like Netflix, you pay, you know, a monthly subscription to, and they provide a service. The service is, you know, through software. And so I love learning about creating these, you know, coding them up, leading teams to create them, how you market them. I think there's so many amazing lessons to be learned. And I just got hooked on it. When I was in, college, I just got hooked on these Y Combinator, this Y Combinator class called How to Start a Startup. And so they brought in all these amazing founders, you know, the founder of Stripe, but this is global payment processor, you know, Peter Thiel, who is the CEO of PayPal and now has like the number four, like largest private companies in the world. And just all these amazing entrepreneurs and thinkers. And so I just love learning about their stories and seeing the amazing things that they've created. And I would love to start a great company like that, that helps a lot of people, that makes a difference in the world. And so that's the dream. And so I am actually started here in about a week. I'm about to start my first job at a startup doing marketing. And so I'm super pumped about that. The goal is eventually start my own. And so all the storytelling, all the videos, podcasts, it's all connected. People want to connect with a story that's bigger than themselves. You know, whether, you know, it's in their fitness, you know, things like joining a community and getting involved in CrossFit or in weightlifting, or whether it, you know, it's in your business, you want to know that you're joining an amazing company that's going places and doing great things. I think so much of what we want to be connected with, of what we want to do to find meaning and purpose in life, is connected to good stories. And I want to learn how to tell those better and help other people tell those better.
Yeah. So eloquent. So much more eloquent. Mom was just like, I want to make stuff. But that's good too. Wow, my voice cracked now.
We're getting really emotional up in here.
I'm going to start crying. It's true though. Yeah.
How did we meet? For real, though.
That's actually a tough...
I don't know.
You know, even though like we're being recorded, it seems like we've known each other for like a decade, but it's really 5 or 6 years.
Have we known each other for a decade? No, we can't have.
No, not even close.
How old would we be? Like 13? No, we couldn't. Not possible.
No, I mean, what is the... We met... So we both went to
the
University
church.
Of Oklahoma. I went to the same church.
And the same university.
And the same church. I mean, it seemed like it was like dismissing it, but we met, and I don't... There wasn't like a seminal, like, that was the moment I knew Matt and I were going to be friends necessarily. I think in my brain, I remember we talked about Arrested Development some at like our church group, and I was like, this guy gets it, because I had just got turned on to like Arrested Development, and I was like, this is like... the top form of art and comedy world.
Let's be honest. So everyone like, who has seen Arrested Development has done the Ron Howard voice to narrate their life in some part.
Oh, no, definitely.
Just leave some conversation. Well, that went well. It didn't. You know.
Basically just my life. So, yeah, we eventually became roommates. And, you know, we just kind of bonded more and more. I think that's when we first started. That's one of the first times we made that video together. My voice is cracking. Jeez, was that when we made, or you made that, like that pizza video, or not the pizza video, the crazy knife man like silent film?
I think so. Yeah. So hold on. Maybe. Yeah. So in college, I was getting involved in all these, you know, video side projects. Mm-hmm. I was originally. How should we do this? Should we go back to college, or should we just go all the way back to when we were little kids?
Yeah. I guess we can just tie it in with. How did you first, like, from your youth, when did you first kind of get into making videos or just making stuff? Like, how early did that start? And I guess we can kind of go back from there and
yeah, go all the way back.
College
Dang.
Age.
Okay.
All the way back.
So we're going to stop, turn it back. When I was like 6 years old, I can remember grabbing our VCR? Tape recorder, you know, like the big chunky ones,
the camcorder.
Yeah, they're like the size of a cereal box, and you would grab those suckers. And
like the stethoscope looking deal, you can like lift them up.
Yes, exactly. I had that, and so I would grab that, and I would just record my siblings. I would record them playing video games or something dumb like that, and like give commentary over it. And that was amazing. And so I used that. I would take photos and get them developed, and I thought that was amazing. Once we got our first iMac when I was in middle school, that was incredible. Just screwing around with GarageBand and making movies and iMovie.
Oh, that was the best.
It was the absolute best. And so I would just
simpler times.
Yeah, I'd do like parodies of Indiana Jones with my brother like sliding down the slide and like pushing this beach ball boulder after him and putting the soundtrack in. It was amazing. It was a blast. And so did that. Just worked on silly stuff, you know. But it's always fun looking back. I need to dig those up sometime. That'd be a good little
post them. Yeah. How far you've came from fake Indiana Jones to making your own software company.
Exactly.
Eventually.
So did that for a while. Once I got into high school, I started getting a little more serious in some ways. Some of the entrepreneurship and the video stuff and the creator stuff started to blend together. So went on a couple like missions trips. One, I went to Brazil twice, and then I went to go serve German refugees in college. And for pretty much all those trips, I would like film school plays, label the DVDs, and then sell them to parents and make a profit back. Or I would do freelance photography, or I would just find different ways to sort of use the creative skills I'd built up to turn a quick profit, and not a ton, you know. So I would build websites, I would do video stuff, do photo stuff, just kind of a mix between all of it, and just scrape together enough to be able to go travel on those trips and help people. And so I could tell I kind of had a knack for that. I took creative writing classes in high school, and those were just an absolute blast, being able to just let loose and get feedback from people and get like learn from people and teachers who actually knew what they were talking about and would give me good feedback on my work. And that was super fun. Do you ever have any classes or stuff like that when you were growing up?
Kinda. I was really big into like drama in high school, in middle school to an extent. I was in a competitive drama, which I hated. So it was like, I don't know if you ever did that, but you basically just went and you basically went to just auditions and you would be like judged by like three adults. So I was like, man, I when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an actor because, like, man, you know, just movies. I was enamored with movies. The first movie I ever saw, I guess the first movie I ever remember seeing was Jurassic Park. And I was like, all right, Steven Spielberg is the GOAT. Even though I don't think people said that back in 97.
They should have.
But they should have. I was way ahead of my time. But I was like, man, I really want to be a director. This is like my thing. And like you, you know, I picked up a camcorder and me and my brothers would make just like these dinky little videos. I filmed like my action figures and stuff. God, I was a true artist back then. But no, and then there is something came along in the early 2000s called Digital Blue. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It was just this handheld kind of like docking station you have for like your Windows 98. Piece of absolute garbage.
Like a webcam,
quality looking back. It was kind of like a webcam. You can like lift it up and film it. Like it was like a stick. It was really bizarre. Like just go online and Google Digital Blue and it'll give you like a tiny little built-in editing software. But me and my friends in middle school lost our minds. We just made all of these videos. And it was just a blast. Like just super silly. Eventually got into high school and that was when around, I guess it was 2000. When did YouTube first come around? 2006? Was that when it first started? I remember 2007, 2008, YouTube was starting to get like huge. And Balloon Shop was this channel on YouTube.
Yes, I remember Balloon Shop.
Oh my gosh. And I was like, that's it. We have to make a balloon shop. So me and my friends made this YouTube channel called the Win a Team Combo. I don't know. I don't even remember why the name came about. But we made these funny little videos. And kids in my middle school raved about him. My voice is cracking so much. I'm getting so emotional right now. But people seem to like it. And I was like, huh, this is fun. People seem to like it. I enjoyed doing it. So we kept on doing it. Eventually, I went into college. And then I went into broadcasting, creative media production. Sounds like a finger paint. That's like the name of the, of the degree. But I went to more kind of intensive classes for, make my own short film. I had a screenwriting class. That was a blast. That's when I first realized, man, I love writing. I love making stories. But yeah, just making, like you said, it's just making stories because everyone loves a good story. I love the writing aspect of a story, coming up with the initial idea, filming it, doing editing. And that's kind of when I realized that I want to do this in some capacity for like the rest of my life. And my goal is I want to be able to make a living off of doing that. And that would be a good podcast in the future for the, 1,000 True Fans. That's something well off in the future, but I just love making stuff, and it came about from a dinky little camcorder called a Digital Blue. God, that, thank God none of those videos survived because they were nightmares. But yeah, and look at who I am now. I've increased in quality only about 0.5%, but no, I'm just kidding. But
per day, maybe.
Per day, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's where it all began.
Man, I forgot about the class stuff because I definitely had some classroom-inspired like high school videos. I remember there was an anatomy project where she said, you know, she went down the list and she's like, oh, you know, you can create a PowerPoint presentation because, you know, you need to pretend you're 40 years old and sad, or you can, I don't know, write a paper or create a diorama, you know, something like that. And so, but the one I immediately jumped to was you can create a video. And I just looked at my buddy, you know, who was also kind of thought weird like I did, had the same warped sense of humor, I guess. We would just create weird videos. So we thought, oh, like we're going to create a video about hormones. We can definitely personify this. And so,
I've seen this video. You've shown me this video.
Everything from like tackling each other down a hill to simulate adrenaline to creating like awkward disappearing hugs, like with dopamine and just like weird stuff. Like we walked down in the middle of the rain to simulate some other depressing hormone and just the reaction from the class and the anticipation, just getting to show it, which admittedly I may have been the only one that actually loved that, but well, that's not true. Everyone else did love it. But just getting that validation, that feedback and the challenge of having to create something. I think that was more of a turning point than I realized.
Yeah, no, that was such a good point about having that option of, okay, you can like write a report, PowerPoint, video, and my ears would immediately perk up, and it's like, okay, I have to make a video. It has to be hilarious. All of like the seventh graders are going to freaking love me. And they did, because I was the coolest seventh grader. I'm just kidding. I had like Bieber hair. It was a rough time being in seventh grade. But yeah, it was just, that's really kind of where it began, was just, I loved making stuff and getting that feedback of like, I kind of like, you know, hiding in like the edge of the room and seeing like the people laughing and enjoying. I was like, yes, this is my true calling. As crazy as it sounds, but that's really kind of where it began. I don't know.
That's amazing.
Humble beginnings.
And then in college, I know for me, it was a whole new phase, because I graduated high school. I went to a private high school where it was very like English heavy. And so we did a lot of reading, a lot of writing. So we'd read a lot of the classics, you know, Frankenstein. We would read Plato. We would, you know, The Republic. And we'd read all this really good stuff. We learned how to read history. I had to learn Latin. Mixed feelings about that. but overall, it was a really great experience, and it made me a really strong reader, strong writer. And so when I got into college, I thought, aha, I'll become an English major. And then before I even got in my first class, I realized I do not want to be an English major.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem right. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll make the big bucks. I'll just be a journalism major. And then I pretty quickly realized, you know, I went to the school paper for a semester and churned out some stories and realized this doesn't feel right. I don't know. I got bored. And so yeah. I decided to go to public relations, and that's what I graduated with my degree in. But it still just felt kind of like a lot of fluff and not enough oomph, you know? I felt like I wasn't really moving the needle on anything. And so I got a little taste through one of my like 17,000 internships. I think I did like 5 or 6 internships.
You had so many. You had like 2 or 3 at a time, I remember. And we
just three.
Me and like the other roommates, we had to have pretty much like, we had to have like an intervention. Not really, but of course Matt would be so, Matt's the hardest worker ever, but just like, he'd be so exhausted. Like, Matt, you have to go to bed. You're like passed out on the couch. Like, please go to bed. And it's like, no, it's okay, guys. We're like, guy, I've never had to have like a talk with someone that was working too hard until Matt. So props to you. I mean, kind of. I mean, like, you work way too hard, but I mean, I guess it's
between the two of us,
than,
I
like,
feel like
the,
we average out. Yeah.
No, yeah, with my just like, yeah. Because I mentioned a few times that I had like the exact opposite kind of like, I didn't have an internship until like almost my senior year of college. I was just like total coast master. I didn't do anything, wasn't in any clubs. I was like, yeah, I'll just do it later. And then I realized, I was like, oh yeah, I'm 24 years old. I need to get my rear in gear and start doing stuff. So we kind of leveled each other out a little bit.
That's true.
So I kind of got the lesser end of the deal. I'm working on getting to that level, but
do you want to intern for me? I can find.
I would
you
totally
can have your
intern,
3 internships now. I can make that happen.
Triple intern. Yeah. I mean, I say that. Yeah.
But I remember all these projects would come up in journalism school because, you know, we had access to all this video gear I didn't have before. I had access to these award-winning video journalists, and I got to take their classes, and so I would end up doing things like, I created a podcast episode for a class, and admittedly it was kind of terrible. But you know, I started like a mini website and a blog. I started some goofy videos and different things. I just kind of got to dip my toes in a little bit of everything, and learn the basics of what works in a video, and be around people that challenged me, and I got to kind of taste that, and I liked it, but I could tell like I wasn't quite there, and so I just needed to go practice and try some different stuff. And so off and on, you know, I would try it. Whenever I did actually apply myself to creating videos, they turned out pretty well. And so one of the ones I think we did there was like this silent film where we were doing tight edits, and we were trying to tell a story with that. And it actually turned out okay for the equipment and the skill and what I had at the time. But from there, it's been a journey of learning, okay, where do I want to go professionally long term? Okay, how can I bring my video skills underneath that to help me go further and also to help other people at the same time? And I guess that kind of brings me to now in a rambly sort of way. But what about you? Once you got to college, what did your video creation sort of journey and process look like?
Yeah, so my freshman year of college, I actually wasn't at OU. I was at Arkansas in Fayetteville, not really knowing what I wanted to do. I kind of had the same process of, okay, I like to write. I like, you know, writing and stuff. So I learned that, you know, my senior year of high school. So I was originally going to be a, like a journal. I think maybe it was English at first and almost like the same kind of path, or it was English at first and I was like, ah, this isn't really my thing. To, I might want to be, I don't know, like I kind of wanted to go into like the journalism field. And then I think I took, I can't remember the name of the class, but I remember thinking it was just like the lab. I don't know, like if you know what class I'm talking about, I'm not going to name names, but just, it was like the driest class. And I had like a lab instructor. It was just like, this is,
how many,
this is
how
not
much
for me.
Actually video, how many videos did you actually make that year that were, you were proud of in that class?
None.
Well, harsh.
And this is a whole, like, this is like a whole other tangent, but I think a lot of it, like I mentioned earlier, I didn't put in the effort, so I didn't get much out. So the classes weren't necessarily geared towards like what I wanted, but I also didn't put forth the effort because I was like, this is stupid, you know, but so I didn't make anything I was proud of. And then, like I mentioned, I really wanted to be a director. So, you know, when I was little, and then I kind of gave that up for a little bit. And then when I got to OU, because like you said, there were so many resources, these awesome cameras and everything. And there were some pretty good contacts to where, hey, I was asked to be on the set of Straight Outlaws, which is, I don't know if it's still running on Discovery Channel, but it's kind of like this reality show. It's scripted, but where they do like street races. And so I worked on a set, like a professional set for the first time doing that. And working on like kind of small film sets, and it was really interesting. I learned a lot of stuff really fast, but it kind of made me realize that I like kind of more of the, I mean, not that I didn't like, you know, Straight Outlaws in like a bigger set. I really enjoyed kind of this small, tight, you know, where I was in control of a lot of stuff, as opposed to, cause I mean, I was just a PA, a production assistant where you know, like you just make coffee anyway, but on like the smaller kind of, you know, short films that would help kids, you know, my classmates make. It was really cool because you would have to wear a lot of hats. You would have to be a gaffer. You'd have to help with the lighting. You would have to help, you know, shoot. You would have to, you know, do sound. You would
just
have to do
realize
a lot of
how much work goes into it. But then on the other side,
definitely,
how good it can be. How
exactly.
You see what's possible.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw, and this is kind of a bad, I mean, it's a good example. So Caffeine, which is a video that both Matt and I, Matt pretty much, he was the reason like it got made. So I had for my capstone, it's kind of fast forwarding a little bit. Like I said, I wasn't a high effort person for a long time. I saw a little bit of like what it could be, but I just, for some reason, like I just didn't have the, you know, the motivation. I didn't use effectively all the resources I had. And then I had my my capstone, which immediately was a super easy class. That Ralph, shout out to Ralph Bellevue. We didn't do jack-ish. We just got really like metaphysical with like, what is seeing and kind of stuff like that. Like, you know, but, like, we didn't have to write any papers really.
True
story.
I had
a final video project.
He taught like my first class at college. One of the assignments was go to the museum, find a picture, stand in front of the picture for 40 minutes and write what you see. And it was like, it was actually really good. You know, it's an exercise and focus, I guess. I don't know. It was actually good in a zen-like kind of way, but that's the kind of guy he is. He's like, go stare at a portrait.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like Mr. Miyagi of media theory.
It's really true. Truly. Yeah, like, yeah, it's very media theory-ish, which is good, but it wasn't like necessarily hands-on. But I had the final project, and I was, okay, here's some things that I could do, but I put it off and put it off and put it off. And then I realized, okay, I had like 1.5 days to shoot it. So I think I told Matt, like, okay, so I have this idea. I want to be like a fake superhero that can't fall asleep. Great idea, I know. But I was like, Matt, please help me film this. I am losing my mind. I think that was the same time when I made that stupid art book and I didn't sleep for like 2 days and I was freaking out and almost cut myself with like a X-Acto knife. That's a whole other story. But it was a stressful week, finals week, because I just was lazy and I'd put it off. So then we filmed it at like the park next to our apartment. just crammed it. I did all of it in a day. Like, we filmed, Matt filmed most of it. We went to the school and did like some, you know, some lighting,
interview style,
some basic kind of interview. Yeah, like, yeah. So it's a total mockumentary, and I did the editing, and like, it was all done in a day essentially, and it turned out really, really well, like surprisingly well.
Through the amount of effort, and I thought, man,
no, yeah, because like, we had to put a lot of effort, but it kind of, my mindset was, man, if I just tried like this a lot, it sounds so sad, but it's true. But if I tried like this more often, I can make a lot more stuff, like better things, and I could do it to where I don't feel like I'm about to die because I put it all off, and like, I would actually plan better in the future and stuff. And that was the first time I saw, like, man, however, like, how much you get out of something is directly in line with how much you put into something. So the more effort you put in, you know, the better it'll be. And like me, like, you're still learning a lot. Like, you may not be great at it at first. Having that mindset, you learn so much faster and you get so much better, like, way off in the future. So I saw that and I was like, man, I want to make better stuff. Because I was honestly not trying to be a total like arrogant a-hole, but it was one of the better videos in the class. And not even lying, I don't know if that is an indictment of like the course.
I will take complete credit for that. No,
but no, Matt like was basically like he basically like directed it. I mean, I had like I wrote it and like I did like editing and stuff. But
that, I will say that was actually a really fun partnership, because also I wouldn't say a flaw. One of the areas where you're much stronger than me is in sort of this off the wall creative side. You have much more of this natural humor. You have a way to put a twist on things, a fresh perspective, an angle that I don't always have. I'm much more of like an executor, plan it out in these ways. Yeah. For detail, rapid growth sort of thing. And so if it were up to me, it would probably be like, I remember the videos I made were like, you know, way serious or businessy, which is still, if you look at our two channels, I mean, it's still totally the case.
It's totally different. But yeah, like, we took both our strengths, because Matt, like, the cinematography angle, which you're much better at than I am, honestly, came through you know, taking pictures for people and doing that for, so like you gain that skill over time and doing all that stuff, to where when we kind of both met, we were like, oh, this is a really good product. And there was a lot of people, like a whole bunch of the students were pretty much telling me, I don't know if they were surprised, but like, man, that was really good. Like, that was honestly
in shock.
They were in shock of like, yeah, because like, we didn't really, no one really tried that class. To be fair to me, I mean, it was a good class, but we didn't really make any videos. So that was really the only video. And I mean, out this all another tangent. But yeah, everyone was like, man, this is really good quality. And like, Ralph, the professor, was like, I think he was kind of shocked. Like, man, you actually like made a really good, really good video. So yeah, that was like one of the most proud kind of videos I helped make in like my college career. And it's sad that it came doing it in like 12 hours, like my senior year of college almost, but it really kind of propelled me into, okay, I need to like adjust kind of my mindset and my career and my life, like my goal, to putting this amount of effort into everything I do. That way it might not be a great product, you know, like at the start, but eventually I can be really proud of all the stuff I make, as opposed to just like, whatever, I'll just make it later and it turning out to be crap essentially, which is like 90% of like my entire YouTube channel is. So it's just like that journey of, all right,
well,
making
even
better,
a lot
better
of the
things,
videos that we've made, you know, together
more,
sorry, go ahead.
But I mean, that's basically it. We're just, I want to make better stuff, and you know, and like working with Matt, like we both kind of like bring each other up to like that next level, to where like, you know, we kind of help each other out, or you know, maybe we're not strong in certain areas, and vice versa, to where we can bounce off ideas. And that's really the first time when I realized, man, really making stuff with Matt's cool, and it's really, really good quality as well. So that's kind of where our collab really kind of took off with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I will say,
in my opinion, I can be wrong.
Even on the videos that maybe weren't as production strong, we still always just had a blast making videos together. I always think
so
of the, do you remember How to Talk to Women?
Oh yeah, that was really fun. We almost burned our apartment down.
Yeah, that's the one where we lost all our deposit on all of the prison furniture at our apartment. But we were just creating this ridiculous how-to video that was kind of an anti-how-to. How much gel did you put in your hair for that video? Because it was a lot.
It was almost an entire thing of gel. My hair was dyed blonde for some reason. I don't. Oh, I was yeah. a really. What was wrong with me in college? I had like pink hair at one time, purple, blue hair. Those were bets. Most of them. I think I just dyed my hair blonde.
Anyways,
what was wrong with me? Anyway, yeah.
You looked like a 30-year-old homeschooler, and you're just making this video and just awkwardly trying to pick up a girl, just our friend, who generously gave her time to sit on our couch and just listen to terrible pickup lines and try not to crack up. And so we made this like stupid video, almost burned our apartment down, but it was still fun. And at the end, even if it was just a couple of our friends just riffing on it, we still had such a good time just working on it. And I think that collab, just the practice, seeing how fun it could be, it does make a difference. And so when it came time to... You know, now that we're both graduated, we've moved on to new stuff. I'm married. You know, you're living in a different city. It's still a no-brainer to create stuff like this together because it's a way to stay connected. And two, it's just such a blast. And I learn more when I have that challenge because I think you need to put yourself in situations that challenge you. And if you don't have a forcing function, if you don't have people around you that are going to do that, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I definitely, like, I would not be where I am now if Matt, like, if I didn't have you to, like, challenge me. Because essentially, like we mentioned earlier, we were basically, in terms of the effort and, like, you know, kind of mindset level coming to internships and just a lot of things, we were so totally different, and I was like, man, I need some of that. Maybe not to where I was like passed out on the couch effort level, but of like, man, I need to get my rear end gear. I need to get focused. I need to be an adult, and I just need to hop on and just make things that matter. And yeah, like you said, being uncomfortable, like I've been super uncomfortable for like years and years doing things that I had really no idea what I was doing, and I was really kind of worried, but I've grown so fast. I kind of had a late start to the game, but even in like just these past maybe 1.5-2 years of just, okay, I know so much more now. I'm so much more capable and confident in doing things that I've never done before. And that all kind of arose out of doing this collab. And that's kind of what this podcast is as well. I had no idea how to run a podcast. I had done voiceover for a few kind of videos in the past, but I never like done a podcast, a weekly podcast and everything to where... Yeah, this is stretching for me as well, but I feel like this is just a step into being, you know, like more well-rounded as a content creator, and the skills I learn from here will directly influence and help with my, you know, my video stuff in the future. So I'm super excited about it. I'm pumped to make these podcast episodes with you. I totally ruined the
that was
super
beautiful.
Introspective moment.
I can see you tearing up. No. Just kidding. But it is fun to look back and see, you know, okay, wow, you know, that video I made, it seems so silly at the time. And it was, but there's meaningful milestones there in our journey of learning to create, of just having fun with it and being around people that challenge you and make you better. And so it's been amazing so far. It's been a blast. I've loved creating this YouTube channel podcast thing. Thanks, DC, for challenging me on that. I appreciate it. And thank you for coming along with me. This has been a good time.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you, listeners and or viewers.
If you endured all that, wow.
If you endured all that, yeah. It's for almost 50 minutes. But yeah, and definitely, and we mentioned it earlier, but leave us a 5-star review. Matt, I guess you should maybe explain why they should give us feedback and why they should give us reviews on 6 Stars Only.
Well, because we tattoo every review on Jake's body. I do.
No, exactly. I just not found that out, but I'm definitely.
No, actually, that'd be disgusting. We'd have to write really small because we're going to get a lot of reviews.
We're going to get so many. But yeah, I mean, essentially, this whole episode idea came about because we got feedback about, hey, who are you guys? Like, why should we listen to you guys? And that came directly from your feedback. So, yeah, tell us what we could do better. Be brutally honest. What can we do better? And just tell us what you think, because we can't get better at making podcasts. We can't get better at making videos if we don't get your feedback and if we don't listen to your feedback. So leaving us a review, writing feedback really helps us out a lot. And it means a lot to us. We will read and take to heart everything that you guys write and say. So yeah, that would really help us out a lot to do that for us.
So yeah, leave a review on iTunes, 6 stars only. Let us know what you like. Go check out, we'll try and drop some notes to, maybe we can dig up some of these old videos.
Some show notes, yeah.
Or at least...
dig up some old videos.
Yeah, we can link those up in the show notes. You can find those at 6starsonly.com. And you can find links to all that good stuff there. All right. Anything else? Any parting thoughts, Master Jake?
Parting thoughts? No, not really. I think just start making stuff. Just be encouraged by us. Maybe you feel like, all right, I'm kind of left behind. Like I haven't put a whole bunch of effort into the stuff I'm making, but I really want to start making stuff. Just go for it. I think that was kind of like my biggest hurdle was feeling like I couldn't do something, or feeling like I had like a wall up, or like, okay, I want to make videos, but I don't know how. I want to make a podcast. I don't know how. Just go online and Google it and just take that step. Cause you're not going to get any better if you don't start. So learn from my mistakes. And just start making stuff, guys. Make good stuff. I mean, try, obviously, but you have to start somewhere. So, yeah, just start making stuff, man.
Dude, let's go. And let's post some more stuff this week on our channels. Let's go.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to start making stuff, too.
Yeah, what are you posting this week?
I'm going to I want to post a video on the old YouTube. I'm going to make a video on Tex-Mex and how it all tastes the same, in my opinion. It's going to be... I've morphed into a hot take, like, giver. I give so many hot takes. All of my blog posts are just like, the Stevie Shimmy one wasn't, but just a lot of like, you know what? Here's my opinion, because I know people will be kind of, because with food, it's non-offensive.
Midwesterners never have opinions about food.
But it's something that people actually really kind of take serious. So like, it's to where I can kind of poke the bear, but not actually make people angry. I hope so. I hope people don't care about Tex-Mex this much, but I have some really strong opinions on it, so I want to make a video about that this week. So
that's beautiful. I'm going to what are you going to say?
I was going to say, just so check that out.
Boom.
Check out the videos. It's going to be this weekend.
Keep an eye out, Jake Arn on YouTube. I am going to post a video. One of my favorite bloggers has this $9, or actually this free marketing bootstrap on if you're, what website... how should you create your website? What email tools should you use? How should you track your visitors and see what's working? I want to do a video version of that and go into the tools and go into how to actually implement that. And I want to do a quick update on that. And so keep an eye out for that.
That's good.
That out before next episode.
That's good. Man, I think that's it. No parting notes. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Cool.
Or talk to you guys next week.
Right on. Peace out.
See ya. I always forget that we're also filming, so it's like, oh yeah, we're not listening to you guys. Oh yeah, we are filming. We are going to post this on YouTube, so I always have to catch myself. Double catch myself.
Got to catch yourself before you...
Riggedy wreck yourself.
Before you wreck... I was trying to think of something clever. I got nothing.